following program is paid for by Water Innovations Foundation. The opinions expressed are solely those of the sponsor and not necessarily those of WICC or its advertisers. Listening to This Week with Ann Carrick and Vincent Caprio. It's what you're talking about this week.
Good evening. Ann Carrick here in the studio, despite the weather. And right now, actually, the weather's not bad. Vincent Caprio also is with us on the phone. Good evening, Vincent. How are you?
I'm excellent. I'm calling in from Dayton, Ohio.
Where you're sort of stuck because of weather, because you were supposed to be back here today, correct?
Yes. And I had a meeting in Cincinnati at the Environmental Protection Agency, and the head of the EPA was delayed coming out of D.C., so our ceremony was delayed 3 hours, which led me to be here.
So you ended up changing your flight.
It's raining pretty heavily here, so the planes are grounded.
All right, so that's what I'm saying. So not only did it delay your event, but it prevented you from getting out to come back to Connecticut.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's all right, because with modern technology, we can still do the show because we can hook everybody up. So
yes.
Now, have you been staying in touch with some of our local news here as far as the rumor that Lieberman will not run for re-election?
Yes, and I have a Google alert, you know, political Google alert, and I had gotten that around 4, and I was shocked. I thought that Senator Lieberman would remain senator, kind of like Harry, like Byrd, till they had to
like Ted Kennedy.
So I was kind of I'm shocked that he would retire.
I was gonna say like Ted Kennedy till the end. He was gonna be a senator. You thought, right? Well, you know, maybe he has bigger, better plans that we just don't know what they are yet. Or maybe it's just a rumor. It's not really gonna happen. I don't know. What do you think he would do if he decides he's really not gonna be a senator anymore?
I think that President Obama would potentially make him a cabinet secretary.
Oh, that could be an interesting move, yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
And the other political news that's local is, not big news, but Susan Bicewicz would like to run for Lieberman's seat. You know, Susan Bicewicz, who is Secretary of the State, who was interested in being governor, interested in being attorney general, interested in being senator. I guess she just wants to be something, somewhere. Now, did you also hear the news that Sergeant Shriver died today?
Yes, at 95 years old, Marie Shriver's father and the first head of the Peace Corps under President Kennedy.
Exactly, exactly. So, but yeah, are those all on your political alerts that you get?
Yes.
So anything political, you know right away?
Yes, well, and also, actually, when I was at the EPA ceremony, somebody pulled me aside and said, "Vince, did you hear Sergeant Shriver passed away?" And the person that told me was an official in the government who had served in the Peace Corps. So,
right.
You know, there's thousands of Peace Corps people out there. You know,
oh,
one,
sure.
One of the people that was in the Peace Corps, Chris Matthews from Hardball.
Right.
He talks about his days in the Peace Corps, with great
and of course,
memories.
Yeah, and of course, the Peace Corps has been in the news lately for some unflattering events, with the death of the 23rd volunteer, and now all these allegations that, you know, people were attacked and raped and all sorts of things while they were with the Peace Corps, and the Peace Corps kind of kept it all hush hush and actually tried to blame some of the victims. So some ugly news stories related to that, and even with all of those incidents, if they're all true, it's still probably a very small percentage of all the people who are part of the Peace Corps. But, you know, people need to learn that you don't sweep things under the carpet because they always come back, you know?
Yes, they do.
That's right.
Again, back to Joe, I was surprised that Senator Lieberman, I mean, I know most of us think he's an old guy, but he is only 68, which isn't that old for a United States senator. And I thought he would run 2 more times and go till he was 80.
Well, I have a hard time believing that he is planning to retire, you know, if from everything, like retire from work and not work anymore. My guess is he's retiring as a senator, but he has something else he's planning to do. That's my guess. I don't know what it is. I guess we'll find out tomorrow when he has his press conference.
Right. Now, let's not forget, I mean, Joe Lieberman has been involved in politics his whole life. I mean, he worked with Abe Ribicoff, the senator in Connecticut, and that's actually where he met his first wife. And his second wife, Hadassah, he met while he was running for Attorney General of Connecticut in 1982. So he actually his first political campaign, he had both Hillary and President Clinton working on his first political campaign in 1972. So it's hard for me to believe he would leave politics.
Well, that's why I said, your speculation that maybe a cabinet position, I could see that, you know, he's going to stop, he's going to retire as a senator but go on to do something, you know, in the White House. I could see him doing that without a problem.
I mean, you know, Gates is saying that he's going to leave the Department of Defense. Who knows? Maybe Lieberman would be offered up the cabinet secretary of defense.
Really?
Who knows?
That seems like a stretch. So,
well, he's, you know, the Republicans enjoy his company. He's best friends with Senator McCain.
Well, I don't know if he's best friends, but
they're really close. Remember, Senator Lieberman campaigned for Senator McCain in the presidential election.
Oh, I know. But, you know, that's politics. That doesn't mean they're good friends. That just means that it was good for their political endeavors, you know? Doesn't mean they're friends, does it? Come on.
No, it will be interesting if, you know, now I thought that that McMahon would not run against Lieberman because Lieberman would be too strong. But if there's a weak candidate from the Democratic Party, I think McMahon will rev it up again and throw a hat into the ring and attempt it a second time.
Yeah, I think if Susan Bisewitz, I don't know which party, I heard these rumors people were trying to decide which party they were going to run with. I'm like, really? Okay. But if it was something like Susan Bisewitz against McMahon, I think Linda McMahon would definitely go back in the race.
Right.
My opinion. Let's switch tracks a little bit for our topic for tonight, which is taxes. New year always means taxes are on the horizon, and tax forms are already arriving in the mail. I got some today. Such a great joy, first thing in the year, to get those tax forms. And so we do have some new laws to consider. So we have a guest today, Fred Parmalee, and Fred is on the line. So, Fred, thanks for being with us this evening. How are you?
Very good, man. How are you? Hi, Vince. How are you?
Excellent, Fred. Fred.
Very good.
And in my lifetime, my late father was a CPA, and to me, the topic that most people pretend that they know most about, but they know least of, are taxes. So I want to use tonight as a beginning tutorial. So when a person graduates from college and gets their first job at $30,000 a year, what taxes do they have to pay as a W-2 employee? Let's start from the beginning.
Sure. It's great. What happens is under the current system that we have, a W-2 wager would in essence pay four types of taxes. He or she would pay IRS income taxes, and if they're a Connecticut resident, they would pay Connecticut income taxes, and then also, and this brings up a new topic that Ann was talking about, they'd also pay, in 2011, a Social Security tax. But the good news is, it's a reduced tax. It used to be, and all of us in the first few weeks of this year should have seen an increase in our take-home pay, the old Social Security tax rate was 6.2%. The new Social Security tax rate would be 4.2%. So that new out-of-school person would get the benefit of that new 4.2% Social Security rate.
But if they're paying less... I'm sorry, go ahead. I was going to say, if they're paying less...
The Medicare rate.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, if they're paying less Social Security, doesn't that mean that their income appears higher, so they end up paying more federal tax?
Well, not necessarily. The Social Security tax withholding really is independent of the income tax structure. So the IRS income taxes would still be based on the same way he or she would have filed, whether it was 2010 or 2011.
And have those rates changed, or are they still the same?
Oh, that was what I was hoping to take you through. That some of the good news we had with the extension of this Tax Credit Act of 2010, we got to retain the same tax brackets that we had in prior years. So we have six tax brackets, the lowest being 10%, to the highest being 35%. And the good news is what we've been waiting for is those are now in law for 2010, 11, and 12. And then we go back to what they were talking about raising the taxes in 2013. But for 2011, 12, we have the six-tier tax rate system.
So whatever somebody was paying in federal tax last year, they should be paying the same this year, assuming their salary has stayed the same, but they're paying less Social Security. So in theory, they should have more money going home.
We would hope so with nothing else changing, but with rising health insurance and things like that, who knows?
Right. But I still think, you know, maybe I didn't make myself clear, but I'm pretty sure if you withhold less for Social Security, that means that your gross is higher, and you could actually end up paying a little more, even if it's the same rate from the federal taxes, that the gross number is higher, right?
You can. What in essence this does is in 2009 and 2010, we had that work credit, which was $400 and $800 for joint filers. What they've done in 2011, in essence, is gotten rid of that and replaced it with this reduced Social Security. So, in essence, the rebate now is coming paycheck to paycheck rather than just with the tax return at the end of the year.
Okay.
Now, something else I want to bring up.
The economy quicker, that's all.
Something else I want to bring up is that I've seen this many times. When I worked for corporations as a manager, the employee was a 25-year-old, and they were making $40,000, and at the end of the year, they got a part of their compensation plan, $10,000. So then the check would come out, and they would come into my office, and they'd say, "Vince, there's a problem here. My bonus is $10,000, but I only got a check for $5,100. Explain why that happens.
What could happen, Vince, and many times what happens is a bonus check under withholding laws is annualized. So sometimes that person, when you're getting the check for $10,000, I don't know if at that time you had a payroll service, Vince, or whoever was doing it, but many times the payroll companies will annualize that amount as though you were going to get that bonus every month, every week. It inflates the withholding.
And so what happens is they tax it at $3,500, and then Social Security 7%, so that's another $700 is $4,200, and then the state hits them for another, $900. So it made that $5,100, and it's called "Welcome to the World."
That's
why it's real important, in essence, do some year-end planning sometimes during the year, and then you can adjust your withholding periodically throughout the year, and not let Uncle Sam keep that money if you're not supposed to.
You know, it reminds me of a career day when I went to a middle school, and the kids had a million questions, but one of them is how much money do you make? And I said, how much money do I make or how much do I get to keep? And they all kind of looked at me like, what do you mean? Don't you get to keep everything you make? And I said, well, no, because for every $3 I make, the government takes one. And they were like, oh, that's not fair. Because middle school age, they were outraged. Like, you mean if you make $30, they take 10 and you get 20? I'm like, pretty much. That's kind of how it works.
Vince and I have that conversation all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Now, Fred, what is the ceiling on Social Security wages for 2011?
The ceiling? Let me pull that up, Vince. I didn't have that handy.
You can just use the approximate number.
It's a little over 100,000, Vince.
Okay. Now, the reason why I bring this up is because 30 years ago, the ceiling was 20,000. So if you made $30,000, the last $10,000, you didn't have to pay any Social Security tax. But over the last 30 years, every year, the ceiling on what you pay for Social Security has been raised. So actually, every president, every year in the last 30 years, has actually raised taxes.
Correct.
Okay.
So the limit for 2011 is 106.8.
Right, so you have to make over 106 to stop paying Social Security. Now,
but once you do that, you pay more federal, so you're really not, it's just who's taking it. It's not how much is being taken.
But I'm just saying, 30 years ago, if you made $50,000, after $20,000, you paid no Social Security tax. Now, Fred, does it ever disappear on the Medicaid payment?
No, that continues on. That's the other side of it. That has no limit. So you're absolutely right.
So this is why I bring this up, because I meet younger people, and they say, someday I can't wait to make $200,000. And they're under this misconception that they're going to, as Ann said, that they're going to net $200,000.
Yeah.
They're not netting anywhere near $200,000.
No, they're not.
No.
No, they're not.
And you know what, guys? It's time for us to take a quick break. So why don't we do that? We'll come back and talk more about this. And a reminder that this is a call-in show. We are live. So if you have questions about taxes or about anything we're discussing, you can join the conversation at 203-333-WICC, which is 9422, or 1-800-922-6060. We will be right back here.